Try to get done at 5 till, so we can take a break before we start promptly at 7. So, Mr. Manager.
If it's all right with council, I would like to maybe just switch up the agenda and start with the audit results.
Okay.
John Blattle, Ed Scavone.
All right. We have Mr. Ed Scavone, who is our chairman of our Finance Advisory Committee, to kind of give you a brief overview of our fiscal year 11 financial statements. The auditors always report to the Financial Advisory Committee, and then he, in turn, will relay that information to you.
Thank you. Good evening. The Finance Advisory and Audit Committee met February 24th to have an exit meeting with the city's external auditor, McGladrey and Pulliam. Also in attendance was John Blattle and other city accounting staff. John Blattle opened the meeting by providing an overview of the financial condition of the city and answered questions that some of the civilian taxpayer members had. John pointed out this was the third year of McGladrey and Pulliam's contract with the city as external auditor, and he was very pleased with the way the audit was conducted. He pointed out the communication between staff and the auditor was very good. The staff, city staff, and the auditors held weekly meetings to discuss the progress of the audit throughout the audit. Audit partner Kevin Smith and Christina Hughes from McGladrey gave a presentation regarding the audit process and the results of the audit. This included the following 3 points. One, there are certain required communications by the AICPA standards that are necessary to be presented regarding the scope of the audit. The audit was conducted using professional government auditing standards. The standards have been developed to provide reasonable, not absolute assurance that misstatements are detected throughout the audit. And third, internal controls were considered in planning the audit. However, the audit does not include examining the effectiveness of all the city's internal controls. They're generally looking for material weaknesses or significant deficiencies in internal controls, and none were found. Mr. Smith, Mr. Hughes discussed various accounting principles and policies, significant transactions that are outlined in the notes of the financial statements. None of the transactions noted were material or unusual as defined by the auditing standards. The auditors are required to disclose any adjustments to the financial statements that are proposed as a result of the audit. One adjustment was proposed regarding accounts payable for the water and electric operating expenses in the amount of $166,000. There were no disagreements between city management, the staff, or the auditors over the application of significant accounting policies throughout the audit. Mr. Smith, at that point, discussed the three audit products. One is the CAFR, the Comprehensive Annual Financial Report. This provided the city an unqualified, clean opinion. That's the highest opinion granted by the auditors. There was no management letter comments issued by the auditors in relationship to this report. The second audit product was a single audit report, and this is essentially an audit of the spending of federal funds that the city is granted. The city complied in all material respects with the compliance requirements described in the U.S. Office of Management and Budget Circular. However, the results of the audit procedures disclosed an instance of noncompliance with these requirements. This instance was the result of the Federal Transit Administration's triennial audit. The city has taken the necessary actions to address the recommendations of this finding, and those recommendations have been implemented. And third audit product is the passenger facility audit, which is of the airport. The audit is conducted to meet the FAA's requirements, and again, no findings were found with that portion of the audit. Concluding my remarks, Mr. Blattle, in his remarks, was well versed on the financial statement. It was able to provide strong leadership and assistance in the audit, as has been his experience with the city. The audit firm completed their task competently and professionally and provided a high level of communication back to the city. This concludes my remarks. Thank you.
Thank you for serving on the advisory commission. We appreciate that. Anybody have any questions of Mr. Scavone? You have, I should have this, but on the pension plan liabilities, do you have the numbers on that? Do you have the numbers on that updated?
I just wondered how. I can get them.
Okay, I just wondered if we were dealing with a year, because we've been dealing with a lag time in the past. All right.
Let me get those to you. Right.
Mayor, the actuary, I spoke to him last week, and I should be getting the updated numbers this week.
Okay. That's all I need to know. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Scavone.
So it's always good to get a clean bill of health on the finances, and this city has a long history of that. I'm proud to join it for that reason, and I'm very proud we're able to continue that tradition. Thank you both for your effort. With that, if we could move on to an update on state legislative priorities. Tony Messina will guide us through a presentation.
Good evening. This is essentially the second stage of things that we've been discussing about legislation this year. The first was setting federal priorities, and then you also adopted a policy to provide guidance for when you want to take positions. It's now halftime at the state level, and General Assembly returned today and took up some business. The House has until April 1st to file new bills, and I think the thing that you start to really watch for in the second half of the legislative session is amendments, so that sometimes even things that may not have been heard could end up being amendments on bills that are moving. It's all about timing, and it's all about getting as much support from your colleagues there as possible. The legislature must finish its budget bills by May 11th, and then it must finish all of its legislative business by May 18th. First, a brief update on our lodging tax. This was something that council directed staff to provide language for our delegation, and we started out very generally, kind of building on the existing lodging tax of 4%, but asking for enabling authority to go up to 7% with voter approval, and the language that we submitted did not specify any uses. There is an amendment that Steve Weber, our Missouri representative, one of them, offered that was also supported by Representative Caleb Jones. It now sits on House Bill 1431. That underlying bill relates to extending a state sales tax exemption on jet fuel for another 10 years. That bill is strongly supported by the Missouri Chamber of Commerce, airport managers, individually and as a group, American Airlines, Kansas City, and St. Louis. It's my understanding that the lodging industry pulled in some of its horses and is trying to convince legislators that having our tax proposal on that bill is not a good thing. And if they're doing that, then in my opinion, they might be shelving that bill for the remainder of the session, which would seem to be kind of unfortunate considering all the support it has. Also, that it would put a chilling effect on our ability to get enabling legislation for what is really, in my opinion, a local debate. Nevertheless, this bill is on the House third reading calendar, and it could very well be taken up. The House can debate it. The only kinds of amendments it can offer to this bill in the House would be technical corrective amendments. Do you have any questions on that proposal? Any comments?
You mean on that particular proposal?
That particular one, yes.
Well, just to follow up, you said it was enabling legislation regarding a local debate. So the local debate is that the hotel tax, the hotel association vigorously opposes it.
It's my understanding there is opposition there.
Oh.
Not unanimous, by the way, but there are strong opinions on a few folks.
It's my understanding, I just wanted to ask, and maybe this is a question for our council, but I was told by some of the hoteliers that even if we don't have the enabling legislation passed, that we as a city could increase the tax despite the fact there's no enabling legislation on the state level. That's what I've been told. So I'm wondering.
The voting people.
I didn't hear that.
It still goes to the vote of the people, I understand.
That's right. Yeah, my understanding of the of our, I'm looking at Fred, is, and so you correct me if I'm getting this too simplified, Fred, but given our charter status, our, that we do have the ability to do this, to send it on the ballot anyway, but the legislation is just a strategy to settle sort of legal disputes ahead of time. So that's the system. Did I get that right, Fred? All right. Close enough for city managers, right?
Okay, I'll move on then. I'm hoping that by the end of the discussion, if council decides it wants to take these recommended positions or other positions, that you have enough information to provide some additional guidance for staff at the end of tonight's regular council meeting. We've recommended some items for you to consider supporting, and they're essentially relating to funding. One of the more important bills directly affecting Columbia would be sustaining, to the extent possible, appropriations for the Missouri Arts Council. Those appropriations flow through to our Office of Cultural Affairs and also to local grantees, and so significant cuts in those funds would really affect our ability to serve those customers, and it would affect our ability to really capitalize on the economic development potential of the arts at the local level. We're recommending that council consider supporting whatever funding the General Assembly can possibly muster in this bill. Similar thought on House Bill 2003, which is appropriations for higher education. Now, my understanding is that the House has put in full funding, but I think that's probably going to be debated on the floor within the next few days, and then, of course, it'll have to go back to the Senate. But in the interest of maintaining a viable university and community, we're recommending that Council consider supporting appropriations for higher education at the level that was, or at more than what the governor was recommending. In other words, full funding, no cuts from last year. The next two bills are
Let me ask you, can I interrupt? How would we do that? Could you compose a letter and have the Council vote on it at the next meeting?
That's what I would recommend, is putting these things in writing, and then what you'd want to do is communicate not only with the bill sponsor, but also with the appropriate members of our delegation.
Right. How many of these are you going to have?
We'll have up to, well, a total of 11.
All right. So do you want us to make a motion during the open council comment section?
I think that would be the appropriate place to do that. And you could do the slate of all of them. You could pick and choose which ones you want, the ones where you feel strongly, where you could make a difference.
You can go through. I don't want to. I'll let you go ahead and
okay.
Tell us the list.
The last two in this batch both create higher education capital funds, state appropriations, if they were appropriated for that purpose, could be matched with funds from private donations raised by higher education institutions, including MU. So at this point, these are bills that provide a mechanism. They don't cost any money at this point. But for the reasons cited above, for the good of the university, the good of the community, we're recommending that council consider supporting these.
And just to weigh in on that one, the interesting bit with those is that they are matching, and so it's kind of a recognition that, hey, the state is in a financial straits, but it, you know, the universities do actually have to have roofs that don't leak, and so it's a good sort of a partnership approach, and recommend that to you.
Do you have any concerns about supporting these?
I like the fact that we as a city are going to support our university by recommending that these bills be passed, because I think that, you know, we're a relationship building. We always are with the university, and I think this is a very strong way of doing that. I'm supportive of the four you've recommended. I think four.
Yes.
I am also. I think it's important.
We can. Why don't one of us make a motion? Recommend to us letters of support, and then we can.
So moved.
Let's make the motion at the.
At the end.
The meeting. At the council comment section.
Okay. There are a few where we're recommending opposition because they divert local revenue sources from our budget and would hamper our ability to live within our means. And so these have a little bit more sensitivity. The first one is House Bill 1377, and this is, in fact, sponsored by Representative Cawthorn, who is part of our Columbia delegation. In my opinion, he's responding to some concerns in his district, and the upshot is that it could be more expensive for the city of Columbia to condemn land for public purposes. Right now, there's a 50-year heritage value where you would pay more than the fair market value for land if a family has held it for 50 years or more. That would be reduced to 35 years or more. And then the bill also said that cities really must establish that there's a specific need for eminent domain and there's no other viable, reasonable alternative. So if that's enacted statewide, I think that's going to give a lot of municipalities pause about their ability to use that and use their resources wisely when condemning land.
I might have something to say on this particular bill. I don't think it's timely for us right now to, since we are engaged in a very strong vocal debate on the blight designation, on condemnation in eminent domain, for us to oppose a bill that's actually giving homeowners, I think, more control over their property. I just don't think it's timely. As a matter of fact, you know, I think we have our own fight to fight here, so I think we're going to come up with our own decisions on what we might want to do, you know, either at the state level, local level. So I might recommend that we not do anything, support it or to oppose it, just let it sit.
That will be I will vote for that, too. Unless it'll have to be a motion to actually oppose 1377 for us to follow through on that.
A motion to oppose. I agree also.
No, actually, there'd have to be
a motion
to oppose the bill.
Yeah, at the
we don't oppose the bill.
Okay, we don't do anything.
Right. So we don't move on it.
Move on it.
Okay, moving on. There are a few bills relating to automatic traffic enforcement. That, of course, takes in red light cameras. And essentially, there are some members of the General Assembly who just don't like them. And one of the ways to discourage cities from using that technology is to divert the funds that you would take in from the fines you collect to things like local school districts. So we've got two or three bills. I think one of them just outright forbids political subdivisions from using that technology. And then there are a couple where the fines that are collected or imposed just go to the school districts. So this particular one is one where we're recommending opposition because it diverts revenue away from our uses, if passed.
Okay.
I'm going to move, just take this one a little bit out of order. Okay, here's the second one. Automated traffic enforcement revenue. It's not quite the same language as the one we just discussed, but the outcome is the same. And then this is the one that prohibits red light camera systems altogether. All right. House Bill 1867 is one that was brought to our attention by Judge Alger. And he said, essentially, the judiciary in the state of Missouri opposes this because it reduces the court's discretion to impose a cash bond. When you impose a cash bond, when your case is disposed, the defendant can sign over those funds to help pay the cost and fees associated with that case. Apparently, when you do that through a bail bondsman, that's not the case. It's the bail bondsman's money. So the judiciary does not believe this is a good public policy and is opposing on its own. Judge Alger asked if we would bring this to your attention for potential opposition. Okay. Now, here is one that I find very interesting because it affects the city in several ways. There are companion bills, one in the House and one in the Senate, and it makes a lot of changes in solid waste management administration with the Department of Natural Resources. It reduces the tonnage fees that we would pay at our landfill by capping the tonnage fees. When you cap the tonnage fees, which are the funds which help support grants to solid waste management districts, that also hurts us and our recycling programs and those programs in our solid waste district region. There are those who believe that the changes in the bill really discourage recycling and favor getting all that material that could be recycled into feedstock for landfill gas production. And there may be private landfill operators who are looking at this. I've picked up this material from both of our own staff and from online sources to kind of try to provide a well-rounded look at this and give you something to consider. I think there may be a balancing act here if you think you want to take any position on this at all. Those were all the bills that we're recommending you consider opposing. This one, we're recommending an amendment, and I have talked just a little bit with Senator Schaefer's assistant. Senator Schaefer is the sponsor of this bill. It has not been, it has been referred to Senate committee. That was in early February. It has not been heard yet. I don't know what the plans are. There are a number of provisions in this bill affecting the Sunshine Law that could add some cost, could add some additional responsibilities, but the one that some of the staff people I talk to seem most concerned about is not being able to recover the cost of separating closed from open records when we're responding to requests for, say, emails. We frequently get request for large bodies of information, not just from students, but from reporters and citizens. And if they're asking about all emails from, let's say, all council members from January through September of a given year, some of those emails may actually relate to subjects that are considered closed. So what the bill would do is prohibit you from recovering the cost of the time it takes to separate the open records from the closed records. We think that's just a little bit overboard and suggest that you either consider asking the senator to amend the bill to specify that you can recover the cost of closed records or that that language that he's proposing just be deleted and the law stands as it is.
So it's been drafted, and it's in. This is the final form. This is the summary of the final form.
This is the introduced form. It has not been heard in committee yet. So at this point, it makes me wonder, will it be heard?
Right.
If it's not, will all or part of it end up amended onto something else? And those are questions I can't answer.
The question, the comments and the comments that you've made are probably right on. I mean, I would like to just watch this bill. I wouldn't want to take I don't know how everyone else feels, but that's problematic. There are a lot of parts of that I think would be very difficult for us.
You know, I just want to be careful about getting involved in something that we don't have the depth of understanding and nuance that we should. And that's why we didn't do this last year. I don't know if we've done it before, Barbara. But each of these bills has most likely a lot of depth to them. And I think we need to be careful about walking into the weeds here on some of these things that we've not done adequate research on. So I guess I'm a little cautious about when I can't sit here and say, I mean, when we're talking about university funding, those bills are easy, right? When we're talking about red light camera proceeds, that's fairly simple too. But this one here is getting a little more complex. And I really don't want to open a debate on each one of these bills when they're being held robustly at the state level.
I might make a recommendation. I think that it's an easy yes on the recommend support, and I love this format, and I appreciate the information, because what I'm afraid of is there's going to be something such as billboard legislation that comes through that we really would want to take a strong stand on and wouldn't do it if it weren't brought to our attention. But I have to agree, I'm not sure which ones, you know.
For example, when we opposed the big trucks bill, which seems to be make sense, we never really heard the argument from the other side about cost and effectiveness. So and I further worry about marginalizing our opinion if we put too many opinions out there.
I think on the truck one, I know I asked for additional information for the costs and the benefits, and we sort of dealt with that one on a
right.
an individual basis versus a whole list of things. I feel much more comfortable with some of these than others for the very reason mentioned is
I mean, I hate to see Tony write up the letter with attached documentary information, and we have a list of 10.
Well, this format really is intended to gain your comfort level on
right.
all of them. So if you're not, that's exactly the goal of this
right.
session, is to let us know
well,
you're
for
not.
For me, there's no-brainers, and then there's others that
right.
we haven't really vetted.
And that's what we need to know.
Right.
Phil, and to some extent, we're relying on the expertise of those of you who are doing who are following this legislation, because there are a lot of nuances. And
right.
As you point out, there's the three readings and the various things can come on and off amendments. So, and to some extent, what you're looking for us for is general guidance, and you may have to make a decision on the spot because, you know, something changes in a bill's going forward. So I think what I'm hearing from the other council is we're not clear on a couple of these things, but that could be rectified maybe with some more discussion.
I'd be happy to get as much information as you think you need, and if
which
you,
is more than we want.
Also, when you when you hear about bills, become aware of bills, and you want us to do any work on those, we're here for that reason as well.
But I understand the complexity of the process, because there's that website where you can watch the bills going through committee, and in the heat of the legislative session, even that website falls behind. And so you're relying on the physical presence of the lobbyist to be watching the bulletin board on the
right.
third floor or wherever
right.
it is.
And this is for him as well. If there are things that you feel strongly about that he needs to make sure people know you support or not, then that helps him provide service to you.
Mm-hmm. So basically you're recommending opposing 764 because it doesn't fully reimburse us for costs.
No, I'm recommending that if you want to communicate with the sponsor, say we're neutral on this bill except we'd like to amend it in this particular area relating to this particular provision. This is one of many provisions in there.
Okay. So we're opposing 1528, 589, 610, 1867, 849, and 1905, right? And then you're recommending an amendment here.
Yes, this is not an opposition, this is a comment to the sponsor.
Okay, so I just want to keep straight, so we have four that we're recommending, one, two, three, four, five we're opposing, and one we're recommending an amendment on. And each will, the format you'll give us next time will be a stack of letters?
Yes.
And we'll look at them, and at the, is, will it be at a report time? At the report time, or will it be in the form of a report which we either vote to accept?
How will, well, report
how will it be at the
me.
Meeting? Pardon me?
Well, what I've heard is there's comfort level on the recommendations of support, those four bills.
Right.
And there was another one.
Not HB 1377 on the opposed, but.
And I'm not
okay.
even sure on the solid waste one that we're. Because it's, I think there's some ambiguity, isn't there? I mean, I don't
know
if we should be weighing in on the solid waste one just because of the ambiguity.
Yeah, I mean, that's an example of something that John Glasscock, he could probably talk to us for 40 minutes on that, and I'm not sure we want that. I don't want to listen to John Glasscock for 40 minutes. Where is it?
Poor John.
I think the only one that people had a strong feeling on is the red light cameras, and I'm not even
Which
sure.
Which one?
The red light camera. I don't know if both of them or one of them, because I think one's fairly broad.
And I'm fine on the court bonds, and that was a recommendation of the city.
Oh, yeah, I am, too. Yep.
Right.
The red light cameras are worded
And the
wrong.
Court bond.
The red light camera bills are worded wrong, in my opinion. They should say the net proceeds of the red light camera.
Well, see, that's an example of getting into the weeds on their business.
Right.
I mean, it shouldn't be our job to correct that legislation.
But it says the proceeds. It doesn't say the net proceeds. We have to pay the red light camera.
That's a good distinction. So and oftentimes with state law, these things get introduced, and then it's after the legislative session's over that they find out they've overlooked something and it's not workable.
And that's an example of why we bring this up to you. We think it's a bad bill, and we're asking you to,
right.
if you feel like you'd like to, this would be one to oppose.
Okay.
Because our interests are jeopardized.
I do appreciate the complexity of this, because you could bring us letters next time, and within those 2 weeks, even the, during the hour you're typing up and disseminating the letters, things could be changing down in Jeff City. So I realize the complexity of the task, and, you know, good luck.
Thank you.
So what I might recommend is maybe we'll just write down these bill numbers, support for the court bonds and then the red light cameras. If you're comfortable with those, we'll prep some language, and it could be read as a motion at the report section of the official meeting, and then we can come back with a letter that, if you'd be comfortable, maybe the mayor signs on behalf of the council, just for speed.
We may need to do something like that because of the speed with which things move
right.
down there.
Yeah.
So are you going to have that language for us today? Tonight?
We'll get it written up for you tonight. Yeah.
All right. And so that we can do it in council comments. Or actually, there's staff comments, too. There's an open comment for the public, council, and why don't I just open staff comments, and
okay.
that's the time for
sure. So you want the language this evening?
Right.
Okay.
And we'll allow you to have an open staff comment and bring that up.
Very fine.
Now, I would just say thank you, because it is helpful to know what is coming forward on state legislation and have a summary and know who's supporting it or not and why. I thought that was helpful.
Well, I appreciate getting that input, and let me know when things need to change on that. I just want to mention these other things to watch. There are several bills worth watching, but I have heard you express concern about the billboard legislation. There's a House and a Senate bill. There are many changes proposed for economic development incentives, and a lot of those are coming out of the experience that Moberly had with the MAMTEC situation. And so, as you might expect, there's a lot of interest in making everyone at the state level, the local level, and even elements of the private sector more accountable for this. This could add some cost if these bills pass and if the city does the type of things that are contemplated in those bills. Some of them relate to issuing bonds for various purposes, and that's a whole other research paper. You want that kind of information, I'd be happy to get it for you. The final item on here is new reporting requirements. Again, that is more transparency for both state and local government. There are some bills that would require state and local governments and even school districts, counties, to put information on the Missouri Accountability Portal, which is something that's maintained by the Office of Administration. It's kind of a reporter's dream, really. Anything that you would want, any database in some cases, would be put out there. But the concern is some of those things just aren't clearly defined, so we don't know exactly what type of information, what it would take for us to actually comply with those requirements. So for that reason, we're saying we ought to watch this, and if something does pass, just be prepared for those kinds of mandates in the future.
Right, and in particular for a city like us that already provides virtually everything online, is this portal an additional IT burden that's just going to be a nightmare to keep straight, or is it a good thing that's really going to streamline the public information process?
I think it would be a nightmare for OA to keep straight as well. If they're all of a sudden taking in material from all across the state, that is a huge, huge responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
That concludes my presentation, although since you mentioned heavy trucks, I did want to let you know that maybe your letters worked, because the transportation reauthorization bills that are going through Congress do not include heavy truck amendments, although there is at least one of them that is calling for a study of that subject. That's nice to see some results.
So just to confirm, I heard sort of broad consensus approval of the idea of supporting the four appropriations bills, and then also weighing in on the court bond issue and the red light camera issue. Okay, we'll prep some language and we'll offer it up in comment section.
And just to wrap up with a comment of explanation for the three television viewers who've turned on already. The legislative process has become so complicated that what the lobbyist is doing is actually helping our legislators ferry through legislation, that we're not so much advocating and influence peddling as we are simply making sure that the bills that go through don't have technical problems or create problems down the road, that sometimes people in Jeff City can get mad as hell, or they have they have a lot of constituent pressure to do something, and so they can pass a bill that sounds good, but then we have implementation issues or the bill gets thrown out in court. So really what lobbying is because government has become so complex at the state level, is helping shepherd through workable bills that satisfy the interests of the people.
That's not the only issue. What we're doing is protecting our local control.
We're doing that too, yeah. And this is that's very well put and point well taken, so thanks.
Any other? I got an issue here to bring up, just as a procedural thing and sort of a heads up on tonight. We've got a report, 4812, on the federal grant funding for the non-motorized transportation project. And just as procedural, a heads up on this. They've done a great job of listing their top 11 preferences out of 19. And what I really, I guess, how can I say this? If we all agree to accept the recommendations of the Bike Pedestrian Commission, the Parks and Rec Commission, and PedNet en masse, we don't have a problem. But I really would rather not get into an issue about three or four that there is disagreement on. And so that I'm going to ask that if somebody has something, one or two in the lower list, to tell us which ones they are, and let's bump it to couple two from the top list. Let's approve as many as we can. You follow me? In other words, if we can, if there's five there's a disagreement in, then we could accept the first five, let's approve them, and maybe do the others at a work session. I don't know if I'm very clear about this. But
if you could clarify, I'm looking at the packet, and I
this is 48 report 48-12.
Right, and I'm looking
page 4.
Page 4, and there are 11 projects listed, and then there's a double line, and then 12
right.
through 19.
Right, there are 11 that they're recommending above the double line, which meets the amount they have, 5.9 million.
And then and also the general citywide.
Eight underneath that they're not recommending because they don't have enough money.
And that is the number 12 through 19.
Right.
And we've had commissions that have put a lot of work into.
So I guess I'd like to do one of two things. If there's no opposition, we'll just approve it en masse. If there is a difference of opinion and you want something moved up, recommend something you want moved down. Tell me how many we can accept. And then if there's a big difference of opinion, we should have a work session.
That's a good
rather
idea.
Rather than vet these one by one when we really don't have the full information.
Correct. I agree.
Yeah, but they're asking for us to approve
right.
this
to,
list.
To weigh in for us, and then we'll come back and implement those.
Right.
Each of them will be... They'll each be their own project. We'll come back as
but basically, you're going to come back with us on these 11.
That's right. Yeah.
So if somebody has one in the lower eight that they feel should be moved up, think how you're going to present that, okay? And if there's one you want to bump, remember that there's going to be a constituent that wants that one, too. So I have no idea how it's going to play out.
While we're talking about these in the descriptions, the page descriptions of the projects, map location 12 is Shepherd Boulevard, but on the map it's 13. And page location 13 on the map is 12. They're backwards on the map.
Thanks for catching that.
But I knew where it was.
Well, I want to bring it to your attention. They are
back. That's the only comment I have. I'm just trying to figure out a way to avoid an in-depth renegotiation of all this when it's already gone through commissions.
Yeah. I mean, in the past, council has weighed in and discussed that even though it's gone through the commissions. Mm-hmm. I know that for a fact there's two that I want to bump up. One in part, maybe.
Well, what we may want to do is if you want to bump up two, we ought to approve 1 through 9. If you want to approve one more, right?
It all has to do with how much things cost.
Right.
Too.
Yeah.
Pardon me?
Depends
number
on
what.
Four. We want number four to stay.
Yeah. No, we're not going to bump.
Yeah. So, and, I mean, you can't do it that simply because it depends on the amounts, too. So it might take four projects to cover one.
Well, if there's a difference of agreement, let's maybe take 1 through 5 and then have a work session. I mean, I'm just saying these are ways to think about it, and we'll pull everybody to see which ones they want to move up.
Yeah.
And if there's more than one or two, maybe we ought to accept maybe the first five or so and reopen all the others to council at a work session.
That's a really good
idea.
That's
a good plan.
Okay. So we'll just see how it plays out.
One other item, just informationally, I think Sheila was able to get with everyone about the time of a meeting that we're hoping to have. We basically need a strategic planning session with council at the mini retreat. Sheila, what was the date and time?
May 21st from 2 to 5.
So there's no pre-council that night. And
that's perfect for me.
Have a break.
I didn't call you.
We're going to hold you to it.
Yeah.
If that election is not physically held, what happens, Fred? If the election is for some reason splitting or was not held, he is still council member, right?
That's right.
Right. So you know. They're talking about some storms.
Yes. Storms are brewing.
Well, and remember that 9/11 was an election day in New York City, so there was a case where an election was called off and had to be reheld.
I'll hope for that.
What's your point here?
I'll hope for that.
Any other comments? Let's take a little break.
I'd rather not remind you.
Okay.
At 15 minutes.